here together. Welcome to all of our friends, members, visitors, distant acquaintance. Welcome to you all. It is good to be here today. And today we will encounter God in word, in sacrament, and in the presence of each other. But before we begin, I just want to bring to everyone's attention that we are in a new liturgy this Sunday. We'll have a new liturgical pattern throughout the fall. So please pay a little bit of attention to things that are a little bit different. And speaking of things that are different, we will have a new gospel acclamation. Same words, just a different setting. And we are going to play that through, sing that through today twice. So if you want to just listen to the first time and join for the second time, feel free to join in both times. Just pay attention to that a little bit. And then with that as well, our Kyrie will transition to the hymn of praise with one chord. So with that being said, welcome to the fall. I know we're a little bit short on our change of liturgy, but let us begin with the words printed in the bulletin. This is the day the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
I invite all those who can stand to please stand now, knowing that if you cannot stand, the church stands with and for you.
Thank you.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
God of all mercy and consolation, come to the aid of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit, that attentive to your word, we may confess our sins, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Let us confess our sins in the presence of God and of one another. Gracious God,
have mercy on us. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, knowing and unknown, things done and left undone. Uphold us by your Spirit, so that we may live and serve you in newness of life, to the honor and glory of your holy name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Almighty God, has mercy on you and forgives you all your sins through Jesus Christ. May God strengthen you in all goodness and by the power of the Holy Spirit keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
You may be seated. Candlesticks. And with that has come the 100% beeswax. But let us pay attention to this, and I was going to give the kids a little bit of a lighting instruction is a little bit different. But let us be thankful for these gifts, and I invite us all down to pray for the gift and the blessing of our stuff. So for those who are new to us, we always bring our hands together like we teach our children to pray. So on the count of three, bring our hands together, please. One, two, three. Repeat after me. Dear God.
Dear God.
Thank you for loving us.
Thank you for loving us.
Thank you for the bees.
Thank you for the bees.
Thank you for wax.
Thank you for wax.
Thank you for these candles.
Thank you for these candles.
Amen.
Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
A reading from the book of Habakkuk. Hear now the word. O Lord, how long shall I cry for help and you will not listen? Or cry to you violence and you will not save? Why do you make me see wrongdoing and look at trouble? Destruction and violence are before me. Strife and contention arise. So the law becomes slack and justice never prevails. The wicked surround the righteous. Therefore, judgment comes forth perverted. I will stand at my watchpost and station myself on the rampart. I will keep watch to see what he will say to me and what he will answer concerning my complaint. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision. Make it plain on tablets so that a runner may read it. For there is still a vision for the appointed time. It speaks to the end and does not lie. If it seems to tarry, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. Look at the proud. Their spirit is not right in them, but the righteous live by their faithfulness. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from the first letter to Timothy.
Psalm.
Psalm. Where's the psalm?
Page 5.
Page 6.
Psalm 37, 1 through 9. I will read the light print and you would respond in the bold. Do not be provoked by evildoers. Do not be jealous of those who do wrong.
For they shall soon wither like the grass, and like the green grass fade away.
Put your trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and find safe pasture.
Take delight in the Lord, who shall give you your heart's desire.
Commit your way to the Lord, put your trust in the Lord, and see what God will do.
The Lord will make your vindication as clear as the light, and the justice of your case like the noonday sun.
Be still before the God, Lord, and wait patiently. Do not be provoked by the one who prospers, the one who succeeds in evil schemes.
Refrain from anger, leave rage alone. Do not be provoked, it leads only to evil.
For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who hope in the Lord shall possess the land. Now, a reading from the first letter to Timothy. Hear now the word. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, for the sake of the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I am grateful to God, whom I worship with a clear conscience, as my ancestors did, when I remember you constantly in my prayers night and day. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that lived first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure lives in you. For this reason, I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is within you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. Do not be ashamed, then, of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel in the power of God, who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. And this grace was given to us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. For this gospel I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher, and for this reason I suffer as I do. But I am not ashamed, for I know the one in whom I have put my trust, and I'm sure that he is able to guard until that day that deposit I have entrusted to him. Hold to the standard of sound teaching that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit entrusted to you with the help of the Holy Spirit living in us. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you for your patience.
The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." The Lord replied, "If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. Who among you would say to your slave, who has just come in from plowing or tending sheep in the field, 'Come here at once and take your place at the table'? Would you not rather say to him, 'Prepare supper for me, put on your apron and serve me a while, I eat and drink. Later, then you may eat and drink.' Do you think the slave for doing what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were ordered to do, say, 'We are worthless slaves. We have done only what we ought to have done.'" The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
I know, it's a strange and sounds like a hard reading, right? Like, what in the world is going on? It doesn't help that we missed the part that came before this, which was all that part that had to do with millstones being tied around necks and causing little ones to stumble and then forgiving people times seven. All that happened, and then we get the question from the disciples, or it's not really a question, it's a statement. Give us this faith. And I think it's, well, they don't want to do the work of becoming forgiving people, because that work is hard. So just give us the faith. Just give us the download. Let us skip the task of becoming. Much easier just to be. Now, I'm very sympathetic to this, because I long for that download so that I can just instantly be a good surfer. I'd rather skip the process of not being a good surfer, that process of becoming a good surfer. I'd rather just be. So I think that's the first part. And the second part, I know it's strange and it's weird wording, and we go, what in the world is going on? But I think we could sum it up simply as if you had a child in front of you. Maybe your child, maybe someone else's child. And if you've ever had this, you have known this experience. The child has done a good thing, the thing that they were supposed to do. And then what did they ask? Now give me the reward. And you, as a parent or a role model, you try and tell them that doing the right thing is the reward itself. And Jesus here could be quoting one of the Stoic philosophers of his day. Epictetus wrote, "Do not seek thanks or repayment when you fulfill your role. You have done what was fitting." And that leads me, friends, naturally to this other point that I really want to talk about, which is canvas. Okay, I thought that would be a little bit more of a laugh. Okay, it does not naturally flow, I get that. And if you're wondering, you know, yes, I stay up late at night thinking about candles and symbols, and how do we as a community encounter the symbols of our faith more meaningfully, more fully. So when this opportunity to get these candle stands came up, I jumped on it. And I want to explain to you my thought process and why this is important, why I think it's important. But I also want to start with something that is very crucial for a Lutheran community to understand. It's crucial for what we do and everything we do. It's this weird word that means audiophore. It's a Latin word that means indifferent or doesn't matter. And the idea is this: what in worship that we do really matters, and what doesn't really matter? Does it really matter that we have this hymn or that hymn, or that the pastor is clothed in a hall with a stole? Does this really matter? Do you have to have that for a worship? So let's think. What do we absolutely have to have to be a community that is gathered around around God in community together? Well, we absolutely have to have each other, right? We can't do it without each other. We really need water, and if we were at the beach, the water would be provided for us. We need some bread, we need some wine, and we're gathered around our sacred story, the story of our lives. So we have to have the sacred story. So that's five things, right? Ourselves, water, wine, bread, Holy Scripture. That's five things. Five things that are not audiophore. Everything else is not a must, but we get to. Because there's another truth too, gathered around these five things. What we must have. We must have ourselves, we must have bread, we must have wine, we must have water, we must have our story. The question then is, how do we encounter those five things well? is we want to do it well and meaningful and true. And there's a true statement, too, that the good, the true, and the beautiful are pathways to transcendence. The ancients knew this, and we know this, too. Because we've each had a moment around a piece of music where you knew you were touching the transcendent. You've looked at a piece of art and touched the transcendent. I know this too because I hear the testimony from people who come and visit. That the music, the art, sometimes the banners speak to people. The beauty speaks to people in a way that mere words don't. And ritual is our corporate encounter of the story. We are ritual people, so we want to do things ritualistically so that the story becomes our story. And so we say, if we're going to do these things, we want to do them well, the best we can. We want the best music we can produce from our hearts, the best symbols we can have, and let the best be our corporate worship to God. Now again, this is all audiophorum, right? It doesn't matter, but if we're going to do it, let's do it well, right? Well, let's bring up candles. They're audiophorum. They don't really matter. We can have oil candles, we can have electric candles, we cannot even have candles. But if we're going to have candles, let's have the best candles. Not just for the best, because they actually, as a symbol, say something that the plastic and oil can never say. For one, friends, they're made from the beast, God's servants. And if you've ever attended an Easter vigil, you will know we sing praises to the bees, God's servants. I invite you to that Easter vigil coming up in a few months. Actually, not a few months, but like 4 months. We will sing this beautiful song about the bees. The gift of creation. What do bees do? They provide life for all of us. We would not live without the bees. And they make wax, and we have their wax here. And it's real. And the beeswax, as I said, will actually help purify the air instead of polluting the air with the oil that we burn. But even more than that, these candles will become a representation, a symbol of our story. Because what is our story but the God who is poured out for us? And what's our story? That our lives should be poured out for others. And these candles will give us light, prove our error, but they also do it at an expense to themselves. About 3/4 of an inch per hour. And so we will see these candles burn down. The self-sacrificial gift of God, of the bees, to us. As we remember the story about God poured out for us. As we remember our story is to pour out ourselves. And so that leads me to another point, and I'll move through these quickly. I do not believe, or I shouldn't say that like that, we should strive to make sure our symbols are real and not virtual. Why is this important? Well, friends, again, this is our story. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. The text does not say, the Word became virtual flesh, appeared to us, just appeared to us, full of likes and clicks and algorithms. We proclaim a faith grounded in the real, that God so loved the world, that God enters in to us, becomes us, suffers the death we will all suffer, then rises from the dead in the same resurrection that we will all participate in. That's why Paul calls Christ the first fruits of what will be, the first to rise again from the dead. We participate in the same resurrection as Christ. It is a real proclamation, not a virtual proclamation. The God who enters us, enters into the world, enters into the world in reality. And that might be a strange thing to think about in the modern world, is we have virtual everywhere, right? AI's taken over, we have virtual Zoom, we have virtual this, virtual that, and let's be clear, I really like the computer, guys, I really do. And I like my AI, and I love the fact that we have Zoom here, and we have people attending us in spirit who are not here physically. These are all good things. All the gifts that we've been given that we can use to advance human flourishing and the flourishing of the world, these are all gifts. But one thing that virtual also means is it's not quite real, right? Now, up in Portland, I don't know if you know this, but they just opened a virtual aquarium, right? And yeah, it sounds like that. It's a building with just a whole bunch of TV screens in, and you can come in here and watch things. Now, it's not really an aquarium. It's not built for an aquarium. It's a family fun event to go to. Truth be told, it looks like a lot of fun. And if I had my kids and I was up in Portland for a vacation, I would probably take them to it because it looks like a lot of fun. But let's be clear, the way the world is going, at some point in the future, those screens of the virtual aquarium will look just as real as if you were down the street at our own aquarium. And so the question is, in a world where we're giving all these gifts of the virtual, of the digital, they're improving our lives, having other challenges as well. The number one challenge is going to be this. Where do you find the real? Where do you find the real? Well, friends, welcome to the church. Because everything we do is real. We have real people in these pews. We encounter real water. We eat real bread. And I know our bread is not, I mean, it's more of a cracker, but we're going to work on that next, right? Because we want real bread. We drink real wine. We encounter realness. And I think the call for every church, but let it be true especially of us, that between now when we don't know what is real, when we still know what's real, to the future when we're not too sure what is real, let us make our community human resilient, to be a resilient human place where people can come and encounter the real. So we want realness. Because that is our story, friends. God comes to us, really comes to us. And when you walk in this door, you encounter real humans. Touch real water. Come to our table, real bread, because Christ is really present in the bread. You eat the real bread, which is Christ's body, and you become the point of union of heaven and earth. So that when you look over at your person next to you, you go, oh, that is really Christ's body too. Remember, Christ says, whatever you do to the least of these, you do unto me. Again, it is not whatever you do to the least of these, you virtually encounter God, the real living God, in real living things, to realize that we are a true, real living piece of heaven and earth, to go out and love the real body of Christ. You are the body of Christ for the body of Christ. Yes, candles don't really matter. They are adia forma. But friends, also, let us be a community gathered around the promise that you are united to Christ. You are set free of sin and death to participate in the real resurrection of Christ. We come to partake of the real body of Christ because we are the true body of Christ for the rest of the true body of Christ. Amen.
God's everlasting grace, let us pray for the church, the world, and all creation. O God of the church, you give the church a treasure in Jesus Christ. Draw us into the gift of faith passed down from generation to generation. Remind your people that faith the size of a mustard seed is enough. God of grace,
receive our prayer.
O God of creation, you nourish the earth with grace and mercy. Bring favorable weather during the harvest season and sustain all creation along with all who labor in the field. Ensure the welfare of animal companions whose presence offers comfort, safety, and joy. God of grace,
receive our prayer.
O God of nations and communities, you govern and guard the world. Give leaders and people in authority a spirit of making just and righteous laws. Bring peace to countries affected by war and violence. God of grace,
receive our prayer.
O God of those in need, you care for those who are sick, oppressed, bereaved, lonely, and poor. Come to the help of all in need, especially Joe, Carol, Misty, Annette, George, Vince, Dietmar, Michael, Marty, Victor, Corinne, Julie, Dan, Paul, Mike, Kenneth, Tracy, Emma, Catalina Nev, and her parents and grandparents, Eric, Ed, Meredith, and Bennett. For immigrants and refugees, that they may be treated justly, their dignity honored, and their rights upheld. For victims of war and violence, for victims of natural disasters in our nation and around the world, and also for those people whom we name aloud or in our hearts. Help us to trust that you will come to us at the right time. God of grace,
receive our prayer.
O God of this congregation, you nurture our faith. Thank you for those of all ages who teach, lead, and learn in this congregation and beyond. Give growth to the seeds of faith, watered by faithful examples of baptismal living. God of grace,
receive our prayer.
O God of ages past, thank you for the witness of those who have died in faith. May the faith of those who now rest in your merciful arms, like Lois and Eunice, shape our faith in your Son, Jesus Christ. God of grace,
receive our prayer.
We offer our prayers, O God, trusting in your everlasting grace and mercy. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
May the peace of Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
Oh. Please share that peace with those around you.
I can marry the two.
invite us all now to come back together and please stand for our offering. Supper, cup. He gave thanks, gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people, for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirits of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom, with you and the Holy Spirit, be all honor and glory, now and forever.
Amen.
Joined together by the Spirit, let us pray as our Savior has taught us.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
You may be seated. Friends, this is the table of God for all the people, and all are welcome to this table. And all has a very simple definition for us. All means all, which means all, which means all, which means all. All are welcome. And all who come will receive from this table. In a moment, when the ushers come, we ask you to fill in the rail from right to left, that you may receive communion either standing or kneeling, whatever is most comfortable for you. Only come with your hand extended, the bread will be given to you. And then reach in when the wine comes, and either take the red glass, which is wine, or the clear glass, which is grape juice. Know that all may come, and if you wish to come for and not receive, you may also come. Just extend your arms, and we will say a blessing over you. But this is God's table for God's people. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior keep us in grace.
Amen.
Amen.
Let us pray. O God, through this meal, you have strengthened us and appointed us to be your servants. Send us to do good and to share our possessions with all in need. We ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And friends, we pause now for some announcements, and we got a lot of announcements, so hold tight. I'm trying to be fair. On the insert of our bulletin is the words of the week with all the events coming up. We got a lot of events coming up. Wednesday we have silent prayer at 12. We have welcome this Wednesday. We have beach walks on Thursday at 11. And I keep saying that this might be the last Thursday before the rain set in. And not sound like a broken record. This Thursday might be the last. So if you want to come to the beach walk, time's running out. But also we want to draw everyone's attention to we are returning to our fall once a month, hold an evening service and meal on the third Wednesday of the month. So look for sign-ups, looking for some sign-ups for people with to provide the help provide the meals for that. One coming up, and I have an article in the newsletter about what soup means, so please pay attention to that. Also, next Sunday, lots of things going on. I would like to call it the Metacorum, but it's really the duo we'll be with here. So we're having an organ out, we're having a celloist, we'll have a concert here at 2. So please join for a really high musical treat for us. And also, next Sunday, Juan Carlos, the assistant to the bishop, will be here. And give us a sermon, and it will be available after the service to answer some questions about anything you might have about the synod. So if you have some questions about the synod, please ask Juan Carlos that on Sunday. Also, Pastor Jillon will be in front after service, not in front, but in the narthex after service, taking vitals. He's finishing up some being an EMT, so certification to be EMT, he has to take so many vitals, so he'll be out front. So if you want that, he'll be there. If you don't want that, don't do it. Yeah, and then finally, on the 19th of October, we'll have Every Child of Oregon here to make a presentation about Hope Teams after service in probably the conference room. So if you're interested in participating or hearing about the Hope Teams, it's basically how we as a congregation can somewhat adopt a foster family and provide like one or two acts of care for that family. So it helps support the family. And so even if you don't like kids, you can still participate in the Hope Team. You're in top of the whole family. So that'll be the 19th. So I think that's all. I'm sure I've missed something, but pay attention to the words of the week. All right, let's prepare our hearts for the blessing. The God of righteousness, who gives justice to the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry, who sets the prisoner free, bless you now and forever.